We were fortunate to have Ryan Stoller with us once before, and when his recent Religion Dispatches article appeared, I knew we needed to have him with us once again. The piece is headlined, "Unintended Consequences Overturning Roe v. Wade May Endanger the Cherished Evangelical Practice." And I am happy to have the author with us today. Ryan, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much for having me again.
As if creating a free-for-all around reproductive rights weren't bad enough, what else do you envision happening in the aftermath of the high court striking down Roe?
Well, I think there's a lot of different ramifications that come from overturning Roe. And what I focus on in my article the most is the issue of family privacy rights. You know, Roe is obviously about reproductive rights, but those rights were grounded by the court in the idea of privacy. And privacy has served to protect all sorts of different rights in addition to reproductive ones. And some of those include, like, the right to homeschool your child or provide your child a religious education. That's what I focus on in my article the most. But there's also a bunch of different other consequences that could happen as well. You know, the right to use birth control, the right to marry who you want, regardless of their race or sex, the right to have, you know, a relationship with another person, all these different rights are grounded in family privacy, which is what Roe protects.
Your expertise is in the area of homeschooling, particularly under the auspices of religion. Talk some more, please, about the cornerstone value of privacy that the religious right has benefited from so much since 1973.
Yeah, homeschooling and religious schooling both are grounded in this idea that the family has the right to privacy. They have the right to make choices about how they want to raise their children, how they want to educate their children. And the Supreme Court has repeatedly affirmed in many different cases throughout the United States history that parents indeed have those rights. And they are specifically, you know, they're not mentioned in the Constitution. Nowhere in the Constitution does it mention that the idea of parental rights or family rights. And so the court has regularly grounded those rights in this idea of privacy, which came from Roe and then several other court cases before it, like Griswold versus Connecticut, which was about the right to use birth control. And then there's also Meyer versus Nebraska, which is about the right to teach your child in the way that you see that is most appropriate.
Mm-hmm. In addition to homeschooling, what are the other major rulings involving privacy that came after Roe that would be undermined?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. I gave a list in my article for people that are listening that want to see all the different ones that are related to Roe. You can check that out. Just to list a few, we have Lawrence versus Texas, which struck down laws that were prohibiting same-sex relationships. And then you also have Obergefell, which legalized marriage equality in the United States. Both of those are grounded in the rights to privacy that we have enshrined because of Roe.
We have seen the same voices raised in condemning privacy rights when involved in consensual same-sex activity that praise privacy when it serves their own agenda. Mm-hmm. What reason do we have to expect the epic hypocrisy to stop now?
That's a great question. I don't think that we're going to see that hypocrisy stop. I think that, you know, the evangelical right is very inconsistent in how they approach, jurisprudence in the United States. I think that they are very interested in protecting privacy rights when those rights serve their own purposes, which are often related to, advancing a Christian nationalist, Christo-fascist perspective in the United States, this idea that we need to take back the United States for God's glory and return it to its Christian foundations. And so anytime that privacy can serve those purposes, you're going to see evangelicals be all about it. But at the same time, they don't want those rights to be applied to anyone outside of their circles. They think that the right to family privacy is not something that, queer families should be able to have the right to, or a lot of, families of color. The evangelical right sees anyone that deviates from their norms as evil. And so that automatically excludes those families from the ability to participate in this right to privacy that they have constitutionally.
Mm-hmm. The numerous losses in terms of privacy and other rights, with all of that going about, and you've put them all out there, why is there not more conversation about those losses?
I think that there's not a lot of knowledge about what will be lost with the overturning of Roe. I think that the evangelicals have focused so exclusively on this idea that, abortion is mass genocide or a new Holocaust, that there's so much energy and passion and worry that's wrapped up in that issue that people aren't looking to see what are the broader implications when we break open this sphere of family privacy that Roe has protected for so long. People don't realize that Roe is about a lot more than reproductive rights. It's about a lot more than abortion. They don't understand that it's served as this cornerstone to all these different other rights that we take for granted nowadays.
Well, you rightly say evangelicals should be thinking about these issues. But my question is, are they thinking about these issues? Or is it really a matter of kill Roe and then manipulate the outcome with the benefit of a compliant Supreme Court?
Well, I think it's really the second one. I think that they are going for, killing Roe first and then figuring out the ramifications after the fact. But they also haven't been, quiet or withdrawn regarding the fact that Roe has served to protect a lot of other rights. A lot of evangelicals and homeschool advocates have talked. I mentioned this in my article. There's the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, which is the main lobbying organization for homeschoolers in the United States. And several of their attorneys have specifically stated that Roe is the strongest precedent for the right to teach your children at home. And yeah, they just don't make a big deal out of that. So no one's talking in the evangelical circles about the fact that Roe really does protect the right to teach your children how you see as appropriate. And so without the leaders and the people with influence talking about it, the average homeschooler or average evangelical just has no idea that this could actually impact them in other ways other than ending abortion, keeping it, on the back burner in terms of priorities.
You know evangelicals well, and when we're saying that they really are not thinking about these issues, could you just say, because you do know evangelicals, what is one of the most important rights that they claim that could be lost in what's going to happen?
Well, what they could lose is the right to teach their children at home or the right to give their children a religious education. you know, if families don't have the right to have privacy in how they choose to raise their children, if we crack that, you know, that protected sphere open, you know, it's going to be Pandora's box. It's going to be, you know, a brave new world in terms of what the government can regulate. And, you know, evangelicals have been fighting for decades fiercely for this idea that, you know, the government has no right or no say to get involved in how they choose to raise their children. And if we're allowing the government in now to make decisions between families and their doctors, why not families and their teachers, families and their parents? You know, any of that is now fair game. And so I really think evangelicals should be concerned about what could happen once we allow Roe's protections to disappear.
So ultimately, how do you see this play out? Because if this case doesn't end Roe, there are other cases waiting in line to continue the assault.
Well, the way I see it playing out is more in terms of impacting homeschoolers who are not evangelicals. You know, I think that the Supreme Court is, you know, it's pretty heavily conservative now. So if, you know, Roe is overturned and then homeschooling becomes this contested, controversial, you know, in terms of the Constitution, contested practice, I think this Supreme Court, the way it's made up, could easily find, you know, loopholes or alternative precedents to allowing evangelicals to homeschool their children. And but the real catch, I think, is going to be homeschoolers who don't fit that mold. So progressive homeschoolers or Catholic homeschoolers, Muslim homeschoolers, I think they're going to be the ones that end up feeling most the weight of overturning this right to privacy. But I do think it'll also be something that, you know, as the government starts creeping into these different areas where they're previously prohibited from, you're going to start creating court precedents, and those precedents will eventually get around to impacting even the evangelical homeschoolers. And that's something that I see from studying the evangelical right for a long time, where they, you know, they are often opportunists. They're not thinking about, you know, consistency in court cases. And so they seize these opportunities, and then they create unintended consequences that come around to bite them, and they're counterproductive in the end.
Ryan L. Stoller is a child liberation theologian and an advocate for children and abuse survivors, the author of an upcoming book on child liberation theology, The Kingdom of Children. Ryan is the co-founder of the viral website Homeschoolers Anonymous. Ryan, happy holidays to you, and you're always welcome on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much, and happy holidays to you as well.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week, a person for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see, he was